Hello, everybody. I'm Tom. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, you're Tom.
8 and 9 steps. Let's see. Made a list of all the people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Now, that's a pretty big order. And I think become willing to make amends to them all is the big part of that step. And the other part is, you know, on step four, we do our searching and fearless moral inventory. Well, this is kind of a inventory about all the people we've hurt or felt we've hurt in our drinking careers, so to speak. And I don't know. I started drinking at a pretty early age. You know, I don't know who I could have been hurting too much at 13, but my parents, you know, come right to mind. And I continued to drink until I was 32. And I went through a few jobs. I went through some friendships. So when you're starting to think about, at least for me, I should say that I'm talking about me. When I started trying to think back about who I had hurt, I'm thinking about it now because I have to talk about it. I hurt a lot of people. I mean, I was a crazy man, and I was a crazy kid. I was crazy in school. So when I think about it, I hurt a lot of people, teachers. I was an obnoxious, show-off, kind of a tough guy. I can remember, I forget what grade it was, clearing off a teacher's desk because she said something to me that I didn't care for in front of the whole class. And I just went up and threw everything off of that desk. And that, I wasn't drunk, that was just my mental attitude at the time. I mean, I didn't drink and go to school. You know, my drinking and crap was after school. Whatever good that was, it was my thinking that was all messed up. And alcohol just added the, you know, flames to the fire, so to speak. But, so, when you start thinking about making amends, I think about it. I had a few bosses I probably should have made amends to. I didn't make a lot of amends in person. My amends were pretty brief. You know, when I did tell somebody anything, it was pretty much, hey, I'm sorry for the way I treated you, you know. But I didn't start making amends to anybody, and I don't know how other people do it, but I didn't really start until I had a good firm foundation in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I was worried I'm going to go start telling people I'm in AA and I'm sorry for what I did, but I'm going to, you know, what if I go back out? You know, it's been done. And early in my sobriety, I got to meet lots of people that were in and out and in and out. So I worried about that for quite a while. Making amends involves letting them know you're trying to straighten your life out and how you're trying to straighten your life out. At least for me, that it was. I had to tell some people what I was doing. So the people I hurt the most, I believe, were my parents. And my answer to that amend was that I made my amends by changing my life. I mean, I was such a pain to them and my brothers and a couple aunts. You know, I had an aunt who lived in Ashtabula, and I would hitchhike over there and just show up at her doorstep, you know. And she'd take me in and let me stay there for a few days, and I'd hitchhike back home. But that's people I was affecting, and I'm sure she didn't know what to think or what to say, you know. My father was her brother. She wasn't about to tell me to get out of there, you know. So there was another person. There's so much to, when you're thinking about who you've hurt, there's so much to it. I mean, you know, there are things that I didn't think were bothering anybody, and like the book says, you know, I'm only hurting myself. Well, that was my attitude. I'm only hurting me. You know, I didn't realize how many people I hurt until I got in here and started working the program and stuff. But again, I didn't start doing any amends and stuff until probably a good 4 years or so. And by then, my parents already saw the change in me, and they were pretty happy with the results. And I made a few, amends to my kids because they were pretty young, but they were leaving me notes. I think I mentioned it one other week. They were leaving me notes, you know, don't drink today, Dad, and stuff like that. And I would tell them I'm sorry for my behavior back then, and they were much happier with the way I was now. And they kind of treated it almost like, oh, don't worry about it, Dad. You know, things are good now. We're happy. And, so that always, it's a great feeling to get that kind of feedback. You know, I never did anything egregious or terrible, something that's so bad that I would have felt that I can't go make amends for it. People I owed money to, I went and talked to them and told them what I was doing, made arrangements to start paying them back, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so everybody's different. We're all different. So I don't know what kind of baggage people bring in here, but if you've got it, you've got to start thinking about it. And you don't run out and make amends. You know, those danger zones are things you really need to talk about with your sponsor before you go running off to somebody and saying something. If it's something that you did that was pretty terrible, and I mean it would be something, you know, that you were stealing money from your boss or something, you know, you certainly don't want to lose your job right away. That doesn't mean it's right. You still have to make amends for that, but you need to consider the consequence if you just go out and start saying, okay, this is what I'm doing, and you know, your boss is liable to just hit you right over the head. So that's the kind of thing. It's a delicate area, so to speak, and it does you good to write down the names of everybody you can think of, and it's an ongoing step. It's not a, you know, one and done type of deal. You have to just keep trying to think back of, you know, who you hurt and what you did, and if there's a way to say you're sorry to somebody, you try to do that. And I've done that in my life, and I've had some friends back when I was in the floor covering with Crackets. You know, I hurt some people, and one of them was a very good friend of mine, and I cheated him out of some money and stuff, and it took me a long time to tell him I was sorry. But he was in the program too, but he didn't stick around. So it took a long time, and I don't think he ever really accepted it, my apology, because he was out there fighting the fights. And he has since passed away, so that's over with. And a lot of the people that I think about nowadays, I hate to say it, but they're gone. You know, I've been sober 41 years, and I haven't done anything to hurt anybody in 41 years. My goodness, that's a miracle. So, because I was pretty good at it. You know, I thought everybody was dumb. Everybody was a stupid jerk. You know, I don't know why I made fun of everybody. You know, if I didn't like the way you looked or the clothes you wore, I'd make fun of you. Why? You know, I don't know why I was like that. And alcohol fueled that fire. You know, when I was out drinking, I got even worse. I mean, you know, when I wasn't drinking, I might keep those thoughts to myself. When I was drinking, I would tell you, you know, you look pretty stupid. But I don't know where all that comes from. You know? And that's part of the alcoholic package. That's part of the steps that help you straighten that line of thinking out. Excuse me. So you can live a good, decent life and realize not everybody's dumb, you know. There are a lot of good people in the world. There are a lot of people that dress different than I do. Okay, that's okay. You know, I see some people I can't believe they don't have any mirrors in their house because they go out looking the way they do. But that's none of my business. They're fine. They have their own life, and I'm sure I've learned they're good people. I just don't know them. So anyway, those are some of the nice benefits of getting in this program and working this program. But step eight, you got to make that list of all people we have harmed and become willing to make amends, become willing. You know, there's people you're going to say, well, I'm never going to tell that guy, you know, I'm sorry for what I did, you know, he upset me. Or, well, you know, when I think about those people, or when I was thinking about those people, I'm sure I upset them quite a bit too, you know. It wasn't just them, it was my excuse. You know, we always have excuses for our behavior. I had plenty of them. And so the reverse of it was, you know, well, they wronged me. Well, in my whole drinking days, everybody wronged me, you know, my boss, my family, my wife, everybody. I just couldn't get a break. But when you straighten up, you realize, you know, there's a whole lot of that problem is you're brought on by yourself, your own behavior. So that's what I realized, and that's step 8 and 9 help you clear that all up. And there are some people you might never make amends to. And I, you know, I think I have actually. I've said it before, I'm not a real religious person, I'm not a church-going guy. I think there is a higher power, and there probably is a God, and all that stuff. And I believe my mother prayed me into this program. And I have told my mother and my father in a prayer, because they're gone, that I was sorry. And I tell them I'm sorry every once in a while. It does me good. Because I was terrible. I mean, I was terrible. If I had a kid like me, I probably would have put him in an institution. I'm telling you, it was really something. And they bent over backwards for me. You know, I said I made fun of people. One of the things I used to think about, Kevin and I were talking a minute when before the meeting got started, you know, about Mark Twain saying, you know, when I was 17, my dad was the dumbest SOB I ever met. And by the time I was 21, I couldn't believe how much he had learned. And that was me, you know, because my poor father, he believed everything I told him. And I don't know, why would you make fun of people that believe you? You know, you're lying through your teeth, and they believe you, and you think that's a flaw. You know, you take advantage of that. That's what I would do. Take advantage of that. This guy believes what I'm telling him. You know, and snicker to myself. How bad is that? I mean, that's really disgusting. I mean, I just, when I think about the way I was and how I am today through the grace of God and AA, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I was picked to, you know, Ike always says we're chosen. And I believe that. You know, a guy that behaved the way I did and acted the way I did, thought the way I did, doesn't deserve the life I have today. I mean, I've settled down over these last 40 years and got, you know, decent job. My family loves me, I think. Well, at least my kids do. I don't know about the wife. But, you know, and life is good. I've managed to make a decent living, haven't cheated anybody, haven't had to lie to anybody or any of that stuff. So that's a big part of step 8, getting all that trash off your mind, off your chest. And there are some things, again, that need to be talked about with your sponsor before you go and unload on somebody or try to make amends for something that might be a little bit touchy. Always get some feedback from somebody who can help you. You know, maybe take the edge off of it a little bit or make you delay it a little bit until you've got a little more understanding of what this is all about. So, but that's about all I got for you on step 8. Now step 9 was we were entirely ready to take that list and go out there and start making those amends, you know. Well, that's a good thing, but I had, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but when I first got into AA, I wanted to help everybody, you know. My whole crowd was a bunch of alkies that I ran with. I wanted to save them, you know. And I had some relatives, you know. I have a brother who died of Wernicke Korsakoff, which is wet brain. He drank himself to death. My oldest brother. So But I couldn't help him. He would talk to me once in a while, you know, and I would tell him, this, you know, this is where it is. This is what you got to do. But he just couldn't get it. So, but you go out and you do what you can to make amends. And like I say, I think of a lot of amends come through your behavior. You know, just the fact that you're here and you're trying to get a grip on your life. Believe me, if you think people didn't know you were a drunk, you need to wake up, because everybody knows. Everybody, you know. I quit drinking, and about 6 weeks after I quit drinking, my dad called me up and he says, "Hey," I said, "Yeah, what do you want? He says, "Did you quit drinking?" Of course, you know, well. I said, "Well, why do you ask?" He said, "Well, you haven't called me or anything in 6 weeks." So, I mean, they know. He thought something was the matter with me. I used to call him up all hours of the night, you know, complaining and crying in my beer about life. You know, it was the craziest thing. So, believe me, you know, I like to think that I was fooling people, but I wasn't. You know, everybody knew. Even the guys I drank with just said, "You know, what's the matter with you, Tom? You're drinking 3 beers to our one." You know. "Oh, I can't help but you're pokey." I'm in it for the buzz. Let's go. But yes, I mean, they even knew it, and they drank like I did. And I shouldn't take. I don't really take anybody else's inventory. But I drank with some folks who probably need to be here, and they're not. But that's okay. So anyway, making amends. I did go to one boss. Because I was self-employed for a while, believe it or not, and I managed to dig a pretty good hole with the IRS and stuff. But I got a job, and a guy really thought the world of me. I had a good reputation as being I'm sure people knew I drank too much, but I had a pretty good reputation as a floor covering installer. So people would seek me out to do their work. But I eventually got a job because I got tired of that paying taxes and stuff. You know, self-employed ain't all it's cracked up to be. You know, gotta pay taxes, you can't take a vacation, got no sick days. That's a bunch of hooey. But anyway, I responded to him that I was trying to get sober and I was going to AA now. And his words to me were, "I feel sorry for you." I thought, wow, that wasn't what I was looking for. You know? That wasn't what I was after, but you know, I was a wreck. He knew it. The guys I worked with down there knew it. But anyway, when I got after I've gotten sober, you know, he's the guy that I should be feeling sorry for, because instead of being encouraging and saying, you know, let's work this through, well, he kept me on. But you know, I just couldn't believe that he said that to me. So not everybody's going to be happy about what you're doing. So you gotta remember to keep a safe distance, or you know, be ready for it. You gotta, when you're doing this, you've gotta think about each one you're gonna do, what somebody might say or how they might react to you. You know, when you're thinking about your list of people you would harm, well, how did you harm them? You know, what did you do to them? How bad was it? And start figuring things out that way. That's the whole idea behind this step. And then the finishing it off is taking responsibility for all that bad behavior and going out and apologizing to folks that you feel you needed to apologize to. And there might be some people you can never apologize to, because it's, you know, it's going to hurt them too much to let them know what you were doing or how you were behaving, and that you just kind of let bygones be bygones type of thing, I think. But again, in that respect, I never did anybody the kind of harm that I think is warranted of that kind of stuff. You know, I was just a big drunk, happy-go-lucky drunk, and I say happy-go-lucky. I was a bit of a barroom brawler too, but you know, those people you can't make amends to anyway. So, unless it was somebody you knew very well, and you know, who gets into fights with their friends, not too many people. So anyway, after you do that, you take responsibility for your actions, and it helps you to get through what's coming next, and that's, you know, your continuing sobriety. Get rid of that guilt and all those hard feelings you have about your behavior and how you treated other people, what you may have done. And like I said, I stole money, I treated people bad, I belittled people that were perfectly nice and normal people, and you know, mistreated my wife, mistreated my kids, I did all that crap. And I made amends to those people where I had to, and then I could move on, and I've done so. I think I've done a pretty good job. I still have my day where, you know, I'll get a little carried away with my thinking, but I catch it right away. That's the other thing that's beautiful about the program. You learn how to catch yourself going off track right away. So that's about it. I don't have any stories about making amends that would you know, be worthy of repeating, other than, you know, it's just a, and I don't think it has to be anything great. It doesn't have to be, you know, a burning bush or anything. It just has to be an apology to somebody, and it, you don't even probably have to reiterate what you were doing. You just have to say, you know, hey, I'm trying to quit drinking, I'm doing a good job, I'm working a program, and I'm sorry for anything I may, any harm or any pain I may have caused you in your life. And that's enough. That's enough. Now, I mean, if I had somebody saying that to me, I'd be floored, you know, just that little bit. And the way I am now, back in the day, I would have, yeah, made fun of them. But I think that's about as long as I can talk on that stuff. Is that okay? Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, you're welcome.
So that brings us now to our question and answer portion. So anybody here in the room that has a question, you can go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on Zoom and you have a question, you can participate as well. Just go ahead and unmute yourself. Who'd like to start us off? All right, we've got Jim.
Hi, Jim, alcoholic. Thanks,
hi, Jim.
Tom. Hey, so was there anybody on your 8-step list that would not have been on there had you not done a 4th step?
Well, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most of the folks that I wrote on my eighth step were part of my fearless and moral inventory. You know, my behaviors, which are, what do I want to say? I'm trying to think of a word here, but it was all my flaws and things that I was doing wrong, besides just drinking, you know. You start thinking about, well, yeah, I did wrong because I was a drunk and I backed into his car and didn't let him know or whatever. But it was more like I would lie about things, and it was more deceitful stuff that were a lot of my 4-step thing. So most of the people that I had lied and cheated and done things like that to were the people that I made amends to.
One other thing. Could someone, or did you ever make or attempt to make an amends too soon?
Well, not that I know of. Too soon. I think I don't know anybody that's come out and talked to me. You know, I haven't sponsored a lot of people, so I haven't had anybody ask me what they should be doing or should they be making amends or not. But I know the talk today is to get involved in these steps and do it right away, you know. So I mean, if you're buzzing through them, I had to wait. I mean, I had to have a good foundation. Like I said, I was more worried about going back out and getting drunk and making a fool out of myself. Now I've gone and apologized to all these people, you know. I had to make sure that I was going to stay sober and be the example that I wanted them to see and live the life I wanted them to know I was living now than to run right out. Everybody's a little different. I think, like I said, today, I think they're actually encouraging people to, you know, back when Ike and I came around, they weren't pushing us to do the steps right away quick, you know, and I think they are now because they work. It's proven that that's what keeps us sober. But I don't know if there is a, depending on probably on what the amend would be for, if it's too soon. I probably should have apologized to my wife and kids, you know, after a couple of months. But they saw that I wasn't drinking, and my behavior was changing. And so by the time I did tell them, I was sorry for all my problems. You know, it wasn't really, I didn't hurt or beat anybody. But they never had my children never had a father around. I never took them places. When I took them anywhere, it was because I was making amends, you know. But now I got to do something to get out of this jackpot. Where can I take everybody today? You know, so I guess it depends. And that would be something your sponsor would help you. Yeah. And everybody should be working their steps with their sponsor. So when you get to that point, I think your sponsor would tell you, yeah, go ahead or hold off on that one.
Who else has a question for Tom? Eric's got a question for Tom.
Hey, Tom. Eric, alcoholic.
Hi, Eric.
First of all, how'd that door work out for you after last week?
How'd what?
That door work out for you.
I got it back together, by the way.
Okay.
Got it back together and hung up. The only thing I kicked myself about is I didn't take a before picture.
Ah. You want some credit.
Yeah. I got it beautiful. Got it back together. Got it so it worked. It went great.
Good. Good. Hey, my question. I know you took some time to go through the steps and everything. Did you have a lot of things pop up as more time went on? Like, I tend to forget the better part of my 20s and most of my 30s that I try to write things down in the fourth step, but I know I'm missing stuff.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of stuff that came back to you after some time?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of stuff that pops up, but there are things that come to your mind, you know,
yeah.
when you drink like we did. And like I did when I say that, you know. Yeah, there's things I forget about. Something will trigger a memory, you know. And I go, oh, holy crap, that's right. You know, I was supposed to be a best man at a wedding and I was in jail. I probably owed that guy some kind of an amend. But yeah, you know, you'll get those even 40 years later. Some things pop into your head. Again, by the time, you know, like now when things pop into my head about stuff like that, those people are gone, you know, most of them. Okay?
Yeah.
Somebody on Zoom.
Anybody on Zoom? We're here in the room. Oh, Kevin.
Can't get away from Kevin.
No, no. Thanks again, Tom. You did an excellent job, and I think some of the key points that were really important is, first of all, times were different when you got sober than they are today.
Yeah.
And that time that you took before working these steps, like you said, I thought it was very interesting that you didn't want to be a bad example of the program, which showed a degree of not only responsibility but integrity that we have in this program that we develop. It isn't for all of us, or at least the people that I know who are in AA, didn't come in here with a whole lot of integrity.
Yeah, right. Back in the day. That's absolutely right.
As far as what I enjoyed was making sure that whatever you do, check it with a sponsor or somebody else before. I do have an example of a very good friend of mine. Their son was in the program about, not even a couple of weeks, made an amends and went to jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they called me and said, "Your goddamn program," you know, it's like, yeah. Wow, you know. So that is always the most important thing mm-hmm. for me when we speak on these 8 and 9 steps about that, that it's extremely important that we bounce it off of another human being, like our fifth step, because, you know, between us, we can come up with some really brilliant ideas.
That's right.
And some superior solutions yeah. that, you know,
yeah.
I have a couple of examples that happened just before we got on the meeting. So.
Yeah, there you go.
But my question is that, and I think the most important thing is, you know, after 41 years, your example of how you live your life today is about character, integrity, and dignity. I think it's great that your kids, and they, did you ever get somebody that just came up to you that you didn't expect because you weren't drinking for a while and things were, you know, kind of straightening out up on their own? They came, "You know, Tom, you haven't drank in a while. I've noticed that, you know, you're doing pretty good." Did you get any kind of like reverse kind of amends that somebody paid you a compliment that really meant something?
Yeah, well, I had we had a little wake for my older brother who died of alcoholism, and his best friend. Now, this guy was so influential in my brother's life that my brother named his firstborn son after his friend instead of himself, which is usually what us men will do. You know, they want their firstborn son to be, you know, carry on the name. So, but this fella came to the little wake that we had had, and after we had said a few things and they made a few comments about my brother, he came over to me and he said, "You know, Tom, you really seem to have gotten your life together. You know," he says, "I'm very impressed with how you've turned yourself around." I said, "Wow, you know, obviously here's a guy that he was my brother's friend, but he knew, you know, the kind of life I was living, probably from my brother telling them stories about me when we were younger." But so yeah, I've had that, and it's a great feeling when somebody notices that you're living the good decent life. And the biggest part of that for me is I don't tell any lies anymore, not even white ones, not even little white lies, because they got me in so much trouble before. I can't get started on that road, so I'm better off telling everybody the truth. And my sponsor used to tell me, you know, there's no softer pillow than a clear conscience. And boy, is that the truth. So. Okay.
Anybody else have a question for Tom?
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Tom.
Oh, there is
Good evening, Tom. I got one more.
Okay,
it's Judy. Listen, I wanted to ask you, the people that you've sponsored over the years, do you take them through the steps slow or fast?
I would say the ones that I've had the privilege of working with, and there aren't many, I'd go through them a little slower than probably what most people in AA are doing today. And I think that's partially because, like Kevin said, it was different when we came in, and that's how my sponsor did it with me. And we took our time, and I mean, mm-hmm. I was in the program for a while before we even started on them. So, yeah, I would still say I still do that. Not to say that if I had a sponsee, we're back. I come from the days when we were called pigeons. Apparently, we're not allowed to use that.
Right.
Yeah, so. If I had someone ask me, you know, about a certain step or certain things, I would certainly be more than willing to go over it with them, especially if I felt that they were ready for it. But I haven't had a lot of people ask me to sponsor them, so that's the way it is. Is that okay? Is that your answer?
Okay, I was just curious. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one.
Oh, Kevin has
unfortunately. Anyway, as you have progressed through this program, and you know, like we figured out that, you know, other people notice our change in behavior way before we do. And I assumed that you told people that you were in the program and stuff like that that weren't in the program. That my experience is that other people have come to you and say, my friend has a problem
mm-hmm.
with alcohol. You seem to have solved that problem.
Yeah.
Can you tell this person to quit drinking or help them? Well, how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I deal with it. It's pretty short and sweet, you know. I'd say, well, if somebody really has a problem and they want some help, have them call me. You know, I'd be more than happy to get them in the right direction, take them to a few meetings or whatever we got to do. But I can't, you know, have somebody ask me to go help somebody get sober.
That's great. Thanks.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Silence.
If not, thank you, Tom.
Thank you all for listening.